Jovan Buha! Buha!
Yo, yo! I'm Jovan Buha, NBA analyst and reporter for Buha's Block, and welcome to another episode. On today's show, we are going to be talking all things Sandro Mamukelashvili with S. Barahini of The Athletic and Raptors Republic, Bleacher Report, many other places. My former coworker at The Athletic. How you doing, man?
Man, that former breaks my heart, dude.
I'm doing well.
Yeah, we miss you too, man. It's good to talk to you. Very excited to talk Mamu, who is one of my favorite players to cover last year. He's a very, very cool guy, which I'm sure you will come to know in Los Angeles. Very, very down-to-earth dude. But yeah, let's talk Mamu, man. Why not?
Let's talk Mamu. So what is your top line breakdown of Mamu's game for someone who has never watched him before or has maybe seen some highlights? What's your breakdown of him on both sides of the ball?
Well, look, offensively, that's the main draw with him. He can dribble, pass, shoot in the best way possible, especially at his size and at his position, his ability to make decisions on the go, obviously space the floor in a legitimate way, but also just kind of like push the tempo. He's pretty good in transition with the ball in his hands. That really helped the Raptors last season. But generally, the Raptors were missing this stretch five type of player. And they got that in Mamu. Like, he juiced lineups with Scottie Barnes because of his ability to space the floor. The connection between him and Jamal Shedd last year as this sort of pick and pop threat was really potent, just because Jamal is so great at getting downhill and Mamu is this very, very good option at pick, kind of above the break spacing, but just generally making decisions in that area of the floor too, whether it's through dribble handoffs, whether it's kind of attacking a closeout and making a read through there. He just knows intuitively what to do offensively, and it worked really well in Darko Rajakovic's offensive system. I think part of the reason, and he's discussed this before too, I'm sure you'll get a chance to talk to him as well, but part of the reason he went to Toronto in the first place was because of the system fit. He thought it worked really well with Rajakovic's offensive scheme, which is predicated on giving the ball to his big men, making them work in dribble handoff situations, making them make decisions with the ball in their hands. And Mamu is pretty good with that. And so that's the offensive side of the ball. I think defensively, you can kind of look at it two ways. The first way is that with some of the defensive infrastructure of the Raptors, I think the Raptors eventually netted out as a top five defense last year. It could have been like top six or seven, but regardless, a top 10 defense last year. Because of their defensive infrastructure, Mamu was allowed to kind of be a free safety of sorts. And so his length and his size was pretty good in terms of getting steals on weak side moments or opportunities, using his length in passing lanes to cause deflections, sometimes getting a block here and there. But in space, when he has to guard out on the perimeter, really struggles him to see him do that. I think he struggles with physicality sometimes defensively, especially against bigger or stronger players. And especially in the Cavalier series, which I'm sure we'll get into, like that became a sore spot. So a very, very offensive oriented player, offensive minded player, a guy who I think instantly will be able to juice lineups with Luka and Austin Reeves. But the defensive questions are certainly something that will be a hurdle or an issue that the Lakers will have to deal with this year.
What do you make of his fit with the Lakers when you saw that that was where he was headed? How do you view him in JJ's offense? Like JJ's talked about, he wants more guys who can dribble, pass, and shoot. Sounds like Mamu checks all three of those boxes, but how do you view him next to Luka, Austin, et cetera?
Well, it makes me excited to see how that offense works, because I think Luka Doncic is one of the best, if not the best advantage creator in all of basketball. And his ability to manipulate a floor instantly creates 3-on-4 situations or 4-on-3 situations to be able to take advantage of. And Mamu is excellent at taking advantage of those situations. There were so many opportunities. Luka and Scottie are not comparable players in terms of what they can do on the basketball floor, but in terms of jumbo playmaking type of guys, they do something similar because of their ability to read the floor. And they do it in different ways. You know, Luka can work in pick and rolls, and obviously his 3-point shooting provides him a level of spacing that Scotty is not afforded. But I think in a very similar way, Luka's an excellent post playmaker, and Scotty has that post playmaking talent to him too. And that instantly creates advantages for the Lakers offense. Mamu attacking a tilted offense or a tilted defense will really juice the Lakers offense in a major way. And I think that same thing applies to Austin Reeves, who again, through his pick and roll craft, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think the Lakers were number one in pick and roll frequency last year, or at least number one or two in pick and roll frequency. I remember I did a video on this, and they were far and away the most efficient at pick and roll, just buckets, points per possession. They were the most efficient on it. I think Mamu will help them a ton in that category to be even more dominant. It gives them an ability to play smaller, because I think Mamu, during the regular season, especially against certain matchups, will be able to play the five offensively. And given the Lakers' infrastructure, he can also scale down and play the three or the four next to some other guys like a Walker Kessler or someone else. I think he fits incredibly well offensively. All of my questions about the Lakers, truthfully, next year, and I imagine this is something you've talked about a bunch, is just how they're going to succeed defensively. Mamu plays a big factor in that. You know, I think they are asking a lot out of Walker Kessler to be the be-all and end-all for them on the defensive side of the floor. I know J.J. Redick is going to be very creative in the way that he sets up their defense. He was last year with those, with how frequently they use the zone. I think the zone defense actually might help Mamu as well to cover an area versus covering a player specifically. But his fit offensively is perfect. The fit defensively is the question for sure.
What did you think of the contract? He signs a 4-year, $52 million deal, $13 million AAV, and then a player option in year four. During an offseason in which very few players got player options on those types of deals, what did you make of his contract?
Feels like it was very competitive to try and get Sandro Mamukelashvili, is what I think. I bet he had a lot of suitors, and that's why ultimately the Raptors were outbid in that situation. It felt like basically every team could use a player like this. But the Lakers likely were offering, one, a better contract. You mentioned the player option, but two, probably the best role. You know, I think Minnesota was another team that was interested in Mamu's skills. I think Detroit was another team that was reportedly interested in Mamu. Like, those teams probably could have given him a starting role as well. But the Lakers offer that upside of, like, he can get great numbers offensively playing next to Luka. He can play some of his most efficient basketball playing next to Luka and Austin. And at the same time, you're playing for the Lakers. You're playing in Los Angeles. And that's always kind of this added incentive. So contract-wise, I think it's a fine contract. It's probably around the range of what I expected he would go for, given the fact that, I tweeted this during the free agency stuff that was going on for him, but he made, over the first 4 years of his career, $8 million. And now he's going to make $13 million a year.
Almost double that in 1 year. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's cool for him because he had bet on himself in such a major way in Toronto. And for that to pan out, good for him to get that money in that payday, right?
You said something that piqued my interest. You mentioned Mamu potentially playing the three. And this brings us to, I think, a big debate going on internally amongst Lakers fans right now is Mamu more of a four or a five? And I think looking at the lineup data and his matchup data defensively, he's played the five about 65 to 70% of his career. He's often matched up with fives. However, watching the film, I don't think he's just this, throw him out there as the primary rim protector, last line of defense, and he's going to hold it down, at least in like a starting context. So I do view him more as that low man helper. You mentioned him as that free safety in Toronto. But I also look at it and I'm like, Toronto had this incredible defensive infrastructure where he wasn't, I don't think he was like a detriment to that top 10, top five defensive system, but like that was obviously propped up a lot by Scotty Barnes and different guys there. So with the Lakers' defensive infrastructure and them relying on Walker Kessler, who I think is one of the best rim protectors in the league, but also guys like Matisse Thybulle, Zaire Williams, Jake LaRavia, more bench level defensive talent on the perimeter, Quentin Grimes, you could throw in there as well. How do you view his defensive role on this team with the current roster? And can you settle the debate on if he's more of a four or five defensively? Or three. Throw in three.
Yeah. Mamu is going to hate that question because one of the things that he really liked about Darko and Toronto, and I remember asking him about this very early on in his career in Toronto, he said, Darko didn't tell me what position I was. He just asked me to go out there and play. And that was something that really empowered him to just play his game. So I don't necessarily know if Mamu even knows what position he likes to play specifically. For this Lakers team, he's probably more of a four than a five. And that doesn't mean that he won't play five. I think, again, there is the opportunity for him to play a little bit of small ball five. And given how much I think this Lakers team will lean into how dominant they could be offensively, there's an opportunity for it to be this complete five out spacing with Mamu at the five, and you can go even smaller and play Quentin Grimes at the four or Luka at the four, and just really play around with your spacing generally to juice your offense. At the same time, if they want to play more defensive oriented, I think Mamu will struggle if they are trying to win playoff games defensively. And this kind of goes to what I was alluding at earlier. In the playoffs against the Cavaliers, Mamu became basically unplayable just because of how much they targeted him defensively, how much James Harden put him in actions constantly. And Harden, as you know, is just so elite at poking at things defensively to make you weak. And Mamu was such an important offensive player for them that I think it hurt the Raptors that he wasn't able to play as much in the postseason. But that's the kind of issue that you're going to come across with him defensively, is finding the right role for him, finding the right spots for him. The guy that they paired Mamu with the most during the regular season was Scotty Barnes. And there's a reason for that, right? Scotty can kind of clean up any of the mistakes that Mamu makes on the back line. He can kind of clean up any of the rim deterrent stuff. I mean, on-off-wise, Scotty was one of the best rim deterrers in the NBA. Part of that is because of how good he was at playing the nominal five. So even when Mamu was technically the five, it was Scotty Barnes who was playing the five on defense, and then having someone else be the four. Like, maybe, I guess you could envision like a world where like Vando might play that role, and then you play smaller and have Vando and Mamu. I don't know if that's necessarily something.
I think Adu Thero might end up being that guy with what he flashed at Summer League. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
He's more of a lob threat than Vando, a better finisher inside. So I could see him almost being like the screening and rolling threat with the bench, Mamu being the spacing option or pick and pop guy, and then defensively, Adu is more of the five.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, yeah, there's a bunch of lineup machinations that kind of make sense for the Lakers. The defensive side is definitely a hurdle, and I don't know what the answer to that is for him and the rest of his career. I think just getting more reps will help him, truthfully. Like, getting more opportunities to understand what his role is defensively will help. He is very clearly an offensive-oriented player. He's an offensive-minded player, and he's going to help them on that end. The defensive side of the ball is just something you're going to have to deal with throughout the season. I will also say, probably won't hurt them as much in the regular season, but come playoff time, when it's like SGA hunting him, or it's Anthony Edwards who's hunting him, or LaMelo Ball or whoever, like that becomes the issue.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So along those lines, the Lakers have an interesting dilemma right now, where I think they need a starting wing slash four to round out the starting group. Right now, the projected starters are Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves, Quentin Grimes, and Walker Kessler. Then that final spot right now seems to be an open competition. Mamu's in that conversation. Matisse Thybulle, Zaire Williams, Jake LaRavia. I don't really see Adu or Vando factoring in. But ideally, that's a guy who can, like, you put Quentin Grimes point of attack, you put that player as your wing stopper, and then you put Walker Kessler as the last line of defense, the rim protector, and then you're hiding Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic on the lesser backcourt and front court threats. My question with Mamu then is, like, can he play the four in that lineup? Because I look at it and I'm like, sure, there are some matchups where you can get away with a Luka, Mamu, Kessler trio in terms of your front court defense. But there are some matchups, like if eventually the Kawhi trade goes through, you're matching up with Toronto and you have Kawhi and Scotty Barnes out there. Who's Mamu guarding and who's Luka guarding in that configuration? And some of these teams with the Paolos and the Franzes or the Jason Tatums, the big scoring forwards, like you're in a position where you either have to put Luka on that guy or you have to put Mamu on that guy, or maybe you're putting Quentin Grimes, who's 6'4", on that guy. So I don't love the theoretical version of him starting with the current configuration of the Lakers group. If they had a better defender in there, even above Quentin Grimes, like maybe you could talk me into it. But I do have some concerns with that Luka, Mamu, Kessler foot speed and athleticism defensively. So do you think he can start, and maybe it's just a regular season? They're great offensively. It's fine. But like come playoff time, it's more of an issue. Like how do you view him within the context of potentially starting or coming off the bench?
Yeah, honestly, I view him as sort of this Swiss Army knife off of the bench, like six man type that can come in and really juice lineups for you and give you that spark. I think asking him to be your starting power forward is asking a lot. And that just, to your point, it's a matchups based issue. Like there are going to be matchups where he thrives, and there are going to be matchups where the size and the physicality is too much, or the foot speed and the ground coverage is too much, and you're just asking way too much of him defensively. And by the way, that trickles down into the offensive side of the ball, because one thing with Mamu is also, like, if he doesn't get stops, if he isn't being effective defensively, that can kind of take him out of the game offensively, and then his confidence can wane in that way. And so I think part of the equation for the Lakers is like finding the right role for him. I would say he's more of a six man than a starter, and I don't necessarily know if there is a starting four on this Lakers team right now. I know there's been rumors about like Kuminga and finding a spot for him or somebody else out there. Maybe it is a trade to go out and try and explore, but I don't think Mamu is. If you're asking Mamu to be your starting four, you're probably not punching up in the Western Conference, you know, against the OKCs and San Antonio's of the world.
And so to be clear right now, we are recording this before the Lakers have potentially acquired Jonathan Kuminga or PJ Washington. Yeah. They have not acquired that player as of right now. So I think if they add that player, Mamu is clearly a bench guy. If they don't, it's tough because I think from a talent perspective, he's better than all the guys I mentioned, Jake LaRavia, Matisse Thybulle, Zaire Williams.
For sure.
Mamu's the best player. It's just there's also a trickle-down effect in terms of right now the Lakers' backup five theoretically is Kevon Looney. And if you start Mamu, that then potentially limits the minutes he could play at the backup five, because I think he's probably more backup four and five on this roster. Mm-hmm. He's at like both slots in the depth chart. So you have your starter, and then he's going to back up. Like there'll be some minutes with the bench group where he's a five and they go a little quicker, a little faster, a little bit more offensive oriented. And then there'll be minutes where he plays either next to Kessler or Looney in some of those two big looks. So I think the best deployment of him is off of the bench in that 4-5. And I'm glad that you view it the same way. I don't like comparing their games because I think they're just different archetypes, different types of defensive pieces. But the Lakers essentially swapped out Rui Hachimura for Mamu. They're making similar money in terms of AAV. The Lakers could have signed Rui to basically the contract that they signed Mamu to. They chose not to. And if Mamu ends up starting, then he really is the Rui replacement, at least spiritually. How do you view that swap as someone on the outside? Obviously, I assume you're more familiar with Mamu's game than Rui's, but like just that input output of Rui going now to the Clippers and Mamu coming in to replace him.
Yeah, well, I think you get, I mean, Rui is obviously an incredible shooter. I think Mamu replicates some of that shooting. I would say Mamu is a much better decision maker offensively. And so some of the attacking closeouts and making a decision with the ball in your hands type of thing that Rui, I think, struggles with, Mamu will be able to do. Mamu also, I would say, is better at finishing in and around the basket. That's partially just because he's a better ball handler, so he can kind of work in tighter spaces a little bit better than Rui Hachimura. And while Rui isn't a great defender, I think Rui's like size and just sheer strength is way better than Mamu's. Like I've just from seeing the Lakers and watching them.
Surprised by that.
I'm not saying this to say like Rui should be gassed as a defender in any sort of way, but it's just like what Rui provides as a rebounder, as a guy who can kind of like just generally be stronger than Mamu from what I've seen. I think that helps him succeed a little bit more defensively than what Mamu can do. But they're very different defensively.
I think Mamu's a better rebounder, but I'm curious because a big knock for Rui has been the rebounding and the physicality. So it's interesting hearing you echo similar sentiments with Mamu.
Yeah, I think it's just like a honestly, for a lack of better words, it's just like a worse version of that defensively, you know? And I do think one of the knocks against Mamu is his inability to deal with physicality, the foot speed, as you mentioned earlier. And it's just kind of, it's tenfold compared to what Rui Hachimura is. It's just that's one of the biggest hurdles, and I'm being courteous in the way that I'm describing it, but it's rough. You know,
describe it however you want to describe it.
It's undeniably rough. And like there were moments last year where you could see other guys on the court being frustrated with like the defensive lapses and moments where he wasn't rebounding or he wasn't crashing the glass in any sort of way, and so that part I think maybe is something similar to Rui, because I know that also happened with Rui a couple times in his Lakers tenure. So it's par for the course with a guy who is very offensive oriented, like both of these guys are.
I also view it as, to me, they're both probably fours, but their secondary position is a different position. So one thing with Rui was he was often tasked with being the Lakers wing stopper, at least pre Marcus Smart or whenever Marcus Smart was out. And I thought that was a mistake because he wasn't that caliber of defender. But if we're looking at their foot speed and their versatility, I think Rui's better at scaling down and guarding some of those quicker, more athletic wings, whereas Mamu's is probably better at scaling up, or at least that's more of a strength of his, is playing the five more defensively rather than Rui. Yeah. So, I mean, I think they're both like ideally guys you're putting in that helper, like lower usage defensive role. And that was where with Rui, there was some overlap with both Luka and LeBron. It was like, they all need to play the four in a helper role and they all can't play the four in a helper role. So there's a limitation with those guys. With Mamu, I mean, that's another thing with Mamu and Luka. I just wonder if there's a bit of a limitation overlap there, because Luka's more of a four defensively as well, maybe like a 3.5. And that's where you're putting a ton on Quentin Grimes and Austin in those lineups, or maybe it's some bench groups and you have Zaire out there, you have Matisse out there, Jake LaRavia, Vando, whoever. But I think they got to be really careful with how they structure him in lineups, because I think if you go a little bit too offensive oriented, if it's like, you know, Sexton and Kevon Looney and Austin and Cameron Carr, it's just like, I think the defense is going to be a problem in those groups.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing with the Lakers, and I alluded to this earlier, it's just like the zone usage. They love to run zone last year. And to your point, maybe that's a way to problem solve for that, is even though you have three or four guys who are three fours defensively, or maybe even fives defensively, like you can succeed in that with them guarding an area of the floor versus being tasked with guarding a player. And it also can weaponize Walker Kessler in a major way, right? You can camp out Walker near the paint or at the rim a little bit better when it comes to zone defense. Whereas if it's pick and roll coverage, it's a little bit easier to get him out on switches and ask him to guard in space. Maybe that's the solution there. It's just more zone usage. Make sure that both Luka and Austin and Mamu and everybody else on the court can kind of guard an area of the floor instead of being tasked with guarding a player.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You mentioned the struggles with him against the Cavs in the first round. And I want to go back to that. What you already broke it down a bit, but just like what happened in that series? I know he had a really rough game one and then played better in game two. But then from that point on, he was kind of phased out. So like what happened in that series and how much of that do you think is just the limitation with Mamu? And maybe he's a 25 minute a night guy in the regular season, but he's more of a 16, 15 minute a night guy in the playoffs? Or how much of it is actually like correctable, fixable, depending on the context of how he's being used and the infrastructure around him?
Yeah, he's a tweener in the best way possible. And I think that's what makes him such a unique offensive player, is that he can just do a bunch of different things. But that same tweener ability or hindrance is what hurts him in a playoff setting, because you don't know where to put him. And I think that hurt him with the Cavs specifically as a matchup, because he's too small to guard an Evan Mobley or a Jared Allen in pick and roll situations. And especially in game one, the Cavs were just spamming James Harden, Jared Allen pick and rolls, and it was just lob over top. And Mamu is not that great of a pick and roll defender in that way. I think you have to ask him to maybe try and switch and guard in space. And again, the other factor to this is that if you have a really, really talented guard like James Harden or Donovan Mitchell, or in the Western Conference, you have, you know, the SGAs and Anthony Edwards of the world or the Steph Currys of the world, like those guys will be able to hunt out those players, get them out in space, get them working in traffic, get them working in space in a major way. I think that is the big issue with Mamu in a playoff setting. Maybe it was matchup based. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, it probably was to a degree. If you play a team that's a little bit smaller, maybe that'll help. Like now that I'm thinking of, let's say, Minnesota. I know Rudy Gobert is obviously still there, but they've lost some size without Julius Randle and Naz Reid. So they're scaling up their wings and forwards now with Jaden McDaniels probably playing the four. Maybe he works a little bit better in that matchup in comparison to OKC or San Antonio, that can go double big, that can play massive.
Well, and obviously those are the two best teams that they're going to go through, though. So that's like that's the challenge.
That's
ahead.
The hurdle. It is absolutely the challenge ahead. And I think that'll be very interesting. For what it's worth, I do think with more opportunity and more playing time, Mamu can develop the understanding of the game area for himself defensively, just knowing where and when to be and understanding what risks to take versus what risks not to take. That is the next development for him, to kind of perfect what kind of role player he wants to be. He's got the offensive side of the floor down, in my opinion, in terms of what he is as a player. Finding what he is defensively will be the next step in his career. And obviously the Lakers are betting that in the next 4 years, he can figure that out.
Final question before we wrap. You mentioned Mamu as a guy, and I interacted with him. The Lakers held a small press conference in Las Vegas at the Wynn. Their ballroom set up. They had the court there. It was cool seeing the guys work out and get shots up and stuff. But one thing that stood out was just like he was talking about embracing the spotlight, really wanting to be a Laker and the pressure that comes with it, the privilege that comes with putting on the purple and gold. So as someone who has covered him and been in the locker room with him and been around him, what can you share about Mamu as a person and just his personality?
Really nice guy. Really, really down to earth guy. Great for the locker room. I mean, one of the things that immediately jumped out for the Raptors, and a couple of guys mentioned this throughout the season, was like Mamu was going out and getting dinners with guys and setting up guys to meet and go out during road trips and whatnot. And so he's a connector both on the floor and off the floor in that sense. Like he
that's
really
big for this group.
Yeah, it is. And I think what he mentioned was he kind of gained that from San Antonio. Like in his time with the Spurs, he understood how important that side of the whole team chemistry aspect is. He brought that to Toronto in a major way. He's a guy that basically everybody on the team loved and the coaching staff loved and adored in a major way too. It was just finding the right spot for him on the floor, which was the most interesting thing. He's a very good player. I think he proved in a massive way that he is an NBA player and that he belongs with his 1 year with the Toronto Raptors. Now it's about, can he continue to replicate that? Can he continue to do it over a long stretch? That's the question with his role in the Lakers, man.
Well, S, appreciate you. Appreciate your time. I will be sure to link to your X account in the show notes. Also NBA Daily on The Athletic. Anything else you want to plug before we get out of here?
No, I mean, look, if you're interested in the Raptors, go and tap out, check in Raptors Republic. That's where I do my coverage there. Yes, we'll be interested to see the Lakers, man. I'm very excited to see
my second home, Toronto.
Honestly, my second team, the Lakers. So that's the other thing here. Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate you, man. And for those watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on channel notifications, and like and comment on this video. For those listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice, please be sure to follow, download, and leave a 5-star review. I'll be back soon. I'll talk to you then.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.